Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy. And this week, it's a solo cast. It's a surprise solo cast. So Chris had every intention of being here, but unfortunately, work got to be too much. There's a lot of stuff coming up for the summer. So we will bash on regardless. And so there's a long preamble. So if you're a patron or if you're watching the live stream, you heard a lot of discussion prior and some exciting things about the Blade Runner RPG, the early access PDFs went out for that. And so there's some good stuff coming for that. But Chris will be back as soon as we can get regularly situated. I think things will calm down. If not, we'll have to pick another day for the stream. But this week on The Weekly, Mantic Board Game Division, so a new division for Mantic, BackerKit launches their crowdfunders, and TT Combat statement. So we were contacted by someone from Troll Trader, and we'll talk about that. And then Embracer released a statement about what wonderful people Saudi Arabians are. Anyhow, so a quick thank you. We have a new patron, and let me rock this again real quick. So Patrick Cassidy, thank you so much for being a patron, and we look forward to giving you some good content in the future. I love that explosion of smoke. All right. What great scenes we have. So let's start off with Mantic's announcement. So they did so Ronnie from Mantic did an interview, kind of an exclusive interview on a gaming channel on YouTube. And they discussed the new division that they're launching. So Mantic will be launching a board game only, I guess board game and card game only division that will be separate from what they do for wargaming. So, you know, Mantic, if you don't know, they're also based in Nottingham, UK, and they produce Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath, I think is their 40K, and Kings of War, of course, is their fantasy miniatures game. And they were going to start a focus on family-friendly, kind of easy to learn, and a lot of licensed board games. So a lot of IP games. And the first one that they announced is Umbrella Academy. So Umbrella Academy, the board game, is going to show up on GameFound. Oh, it already has. Yeah. A couple days ago, it showed up on GameFound, which is a new crowdfunding platform, which is not Kickstarter. And I suspect that they're offering a little bit of a sweeter cut, maybe better fees, which will give them the motivation to do this. So simple pick up and play rules and cooperative gameplay is going to be the focus of what they're doing, and especially with this new Umbrella Academy. And it's a license directly from Dark Horse, so there's no relationship to that weird Netflix series that they're kind of changing the characters and changing everything. So the sculpts of the miniatures, and there will be miniatures, of course, so they're going to do standees and things, of course, because they'll have access to all of that art. But I think their big focus is going to be a set of miniatures for these board games to make them, you know, for Mantic fans, to make them a little more exciting. And Mantic does decent board game miniatures. But, you know, they have some really nice lines for Kings of War and things. I mean, I think for a while, and I think it still may be the case, they have the best zombies and skeletons in the game, in the field. That first set that they did, all that time ago, is some really good detailed sculpts and really great looking and very customizable zombies and skeletons, which looked much more elegant and had a much more real scale and things than anything that Warhammer was doing. But the statement from Mantic says, "At Mantic, we've become well known for creating accessible and enjoyable war games like Kings of War and the recently released Firefight Second Edition. With the creation of the board game division, we want to develop more products that can be enjoyed by a wider range of audiences. This could be ready-made RPG adventures to play as part of a wider campaign, a card game that introduces new fans to our fantasy realms, and a kid-friendly dungeon crawler that can be played during family game night. Having these titles published under the Mantic Board Game Division brand allows them to be produced without distracting from our core fantasy and sci-fi releases. What's more, it gives us new ways to introduce gamers to the wonderful world of Mantic." Yeah, so I think it's kind of a way to onboard, and especially like if there's some kid-friendly games that can do a more kid-friendly version of their fantasy dungeon crawl, And then if the kid recognizes like some characters or things from the setting, that may bring them into Kings of War, which I think makes sense. And especially with the crowdfunding, the safety of crowdfunding, where you know you can gauge the level of interest in things, I think that'll help them a lot. So basically, they want to create products, you know, work with licensing partners, and I guess they're working well with Dark Horse because they've done a few games already with licensed IPs, and they've got a good relationship with Dark Horse. So we'll be seeing some of those properties coming up, and things that wouldn't translate well into their wargaming space, now they have a chance to work on those projects. And it really sounds like they want to do kind of one and done crowdfunding campaigns that give you a basic board game that they can keep offering as a core set. And then, of course, like a deluxe set that has all the miniatures and everything. Like they'll, based on the success of the crowdfunder, you know, pimp out the game as much as they can. And that will be the release. So it's just done once it's done. I don't think they're going to keep supporting things. Maybe. I mean, if they're incredibly popular, maybe they will. But it does really sound like... they want these to be projects that have a single license IP. They put them out and they exist, you know, forever to buy as standalone board games. And also, you know, in the same way they did with the original kind of tile crawling dungeon games that they were producing, like at the very beginning, to try to get people interested in their fantasy setting, which I hope has developed a lot. It was always a little bit too generic and not that compelling, you know, compared to what, you know, Warhammer Fantasy was doing. So I hope they're getting a more interesting and complex as things are going on. So in their interview, Ronnie teased the next thing they're doing is a retro 80s 16-bit platformer license. So I'm not sure what that is. I hope they don't get too crazy as far as who they're licensing from. But they've already did Walking Dead and Hellboy as licensed games. And I'll put the link to the interview. If you can understand Ronnie Renton's accent, you can listen straight from the horse's mouth, everything they're talking about with the board games. So it sounds good. I mean, I have the Mantic was some of the first miniatures that I ever bought, and because they were so affordable, and they had Space Dwarves. Like, that's the thing that finally, you know, that we have again from from Games Workshop. But Mantic at the time for Warpath had Space Dwarves, and so that was a big motivation to try out their miniatures. And you know, I've never been completely happy with the detail and the sharpness and the you know, yes, everything about their miniatures. But they're getting better, and I like the thing you have to admire about Mantic is they're very honest about, you know, this is okay. These old kits, we know they weren't great. We were mixing metal and plastic, and yeah, and we've gotten better. And so now we're doing plastic only. And you know, they have a lot of enthusiasm, and they've gotten, you know, they've got great rule sets because they've worked with original and some of the original designers that also worked with the Warhammer license or Warhammer. They worked at, you know, Games Workshop, so. You know, they've got good rules. Their miniatures keep getting better. They're so affordable, and they're just this underdog that I've always, you know, can't resist rooting for. But I can't say that I haven't been disappointed by things like Dungeon Saga and some of the stuff that's come out from them. But I've always they have a place in my heart just because, they're a worthy underdog. So, that's going to change things. So we're going to see their presence kind of probably much more continuously on GameFound for releasing these board games. And the sculpts already that they've showed off for Umbrella Academy look good. I mean, they look very much like the comic book characters, so they're not, it doesn't feel strange or anything. And I'm so glad it's not a weird Netflix license, so we don't have to look at those weird abominations that happened. So, speaking of crowdfunding platforms and alternatives to Kickstarter, BackerKit has just launched, I guess their beta. They're in their beta now. So they announced their crowdfunding platform with nearly 40 planned projects. So starting completely, completely for reals in 2023, they are going to launch with a Gloomhaven exclusive. So that's pretty huge. So now they're in a kind of an open beta period. So they have a few projects that are running, and this was kind of a surprise announcement that happened on the 14th of this month. So on Twitter, they said they've got five currently active projects, and more coming. So they're working with Whirligig Games, Leader Games, and Tuesday Night Games, who are the Mothership creators, and of course Restoration Games, who did Return to Dark Tower. So it looks like they're getting some good support. And you've probably used, if you used Kickstarter, you probably used BackerKit, because they were the back end, the thing that Kickstarter never figured out that they probably should do. So Kickstarter, between GameFound and BackerKit, have created two competitors now, and people look very interested in moving their projects over to these platforms, because Kickstarter is still talking about how to utilize blockchain and NFTs, and they don't even know what they're doing, but they want to do something. So I think that's making people nervous. And most specifically, the creator of Gloomhaven talked specifically about not wanting to find out what that was going to be. So Isaac Childress of Cephalofair Games has specifically supported BackerKit and will be releasing a Gloomhaven specific miniatures campaign, which is going to give you 500 miniatures for to support everything that was just standees for Gloomhaven, all of its expansions, and also Jaws of the Lion. And I guess that would also mean Frosthaven as well, because 500 miniatures, my God. So that might be something worth looking at. So Isaac said, using BackerKit is the easiest part of the crowdfunding experience, because at any time you have a problem or needed anything, they were on it, coming up with solutions, Childress said in an email. If they could do the entire crowdfunding experience, well, that seemed like an easy decision to make. So, yeah, very obviously, Isaac was very happy with the support and the problem solving. And I think, you know, there's always problems in campaigns. So, that made it very easy. And he goes on to say, Kickstarter has made it clear to us that they want to be at the forefront of a transition to Web3. And Cephalofair Games just isn't about that. So Kickstarter has yet to supply, in the 7 months since they made their announcement, any concrete example of how moving to blockchain will make crowdfunding better for creators or backers. And pretty much all we have seen in that time from the crypto space is rampant fraud, theft, and financial ruin. We are quite hesitant to move in any way that would associate ourselves with or enable any of that. So I think, he's got a good head on his shoulders. I really admire just the little bit of interaction I had with the first Gloomhaven campaign with Isaac was wonderful. He is on top of everything and is directly answering backers' questions. It was, yeah, amazing. So he finishes by saying, they were the right people to do this because they were consistently innovating. They're always paying attention, scrutinizing everything in the crowdfunding space and determining how to make their service as useful and streamlined as possible, talking about BackerKit. So that's a very good endorsement of this platform. And it does seem, I mean, anybody that's had experience with BackerKit will know that, yeah, they work out the problems well. And if you have change of addresses and billing problems and stuff, they address those things very, very quickly. So, and I think even for the people running the campaigns, the creators on the platform, they're doing well. So Kickstarter had a statement kind of following up with this and talking about, so what did Kickstarter have to say and kind of reaction to now having some competition? So Kate Bernick said that creators need to choose the platform that fits them best. Kickstarter is a project-based platform, and we get that works for one project. What works for one project may be different from another. Our goal is our mission, not market share. Our goal is our mission. Interesting. We focused on ensuring our platform best serves the thousands of creators who use it to bring their work to life. Okay, well, that doesn't help, and I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna do well in the face of this kind of competition. But they did make clear that BackerKit will still, the tools and the website itself, the back end, will still be available to creators that are running crowdfunding campaigns on Kickstarter. So BackerKit will still exist and will still work with Kickstarter. It's not like they're gonna cut them off which, you know, probably wouldn't be a bad idea, you know, if they're going to be a little more cutthroat. So they will still be available. And don't forget that we also have GameFound as well. So Marcin Sverkot, the founder of Awakened Realms, also recently brought GameFound out of beta. And their goal is 25% of Kickstarter's tabletop earnings for this year. So they're trying to make decent inroads. And as we saw, that's where Mantic is going. So I think they already have some decent names on there. So yeah, so new competition for Kickstarter, and I really think they need to reevaluate. But I mean, I think tabletop was big for Kickstarter, so it was kind of inevitable that maybe someone was going to try to take a piece out of that. And they still have everything else. I mean, this, you know, Kickstarter still supports, you know, publishing and theater projects, and you know, they have a huge variety of categories on Kickstarter that may be fine. So it's funny that this is not, you know, a rivalry between a San Francisco based BackerKit and Brooklyn based Kickstarter. So East Coast, West Coast rivalry at this point. And throw a little Poland in there. So yeah, we'll see how this goes. And but I think that's a great endorsement from Childress. That's a, you know, he says a lot of positive things about BackerKit. So we'll see. And I think customers are just going to go where they feel the most secure. And pretty much if you've used Kickstarter, you've probably used GameFound and you've probably used BackerKit. So you have accounts with all of them already. So, yeah, I guess the choice will just be, you know, who penalizes you the most. I guess they're going to have to be really careful because one bad experience is probably going to push you to one platform or another. So we'll see. So speaking of Kickstarter, last week we talked about Secret Weapon Miniatures closing. And this was based on an update posted on a Kickstarter page, a Kickstarter update for their HD Bases Kickstarter campaign. And so the entire discussion was based on this single statement posted as an update on that crowdfunding campaign. So we were basically getting one side of the story. And Upturn Table was contacted by Lewis Simpson. And immediately as I saw this, I'm like, okay, what is this? Some customer like white knighting their favorite company. But Lewis is the managing director of Troll Trader. So Lewis reached out, and Lewis is married to Jessica Simpson. So I had to listen to everything that he had to say. But he said, you know, what you reported or what you discussed was completely inaccurate and totally wrong. Look at the statement that TT Combat posted on their website and, you know, give us a fair shake. And so I did. I took a look at the statement. So originally, the Secret Weapon update was posted on the 31st of May. Following up on the 10th of June, Owen Roberts of TT Combat posted this statement, and the two stories. So basically we have two stories. The truth is somewhere in between, but now that we have this new information, it's looking worse for Secret Weapon. So let me kind of fill you in on this, the new information. So starting in February of 2021, Secret Weapon and TT Combat or Troll Trader were working together, but they received an email from Justin McCoy of Secret Weapon saying, I will be announcing the closure of Secret Weapon this month. We are not able to weather the pandemic. So that's the, you know, the midst of 2021. So we're still, you know, dealing with all of that. And so what ended up happening is Troll Trader offered them a cash injection to hopefully keep them alive and kicking. So they entered into a rolling 3-month deal where they would pay Secret Weapon $10,000 for a 3-month license, and a license of their bases, because I think they wanted to sell the bases, which is the kind of premier product that Secret Weapon did in the UK. So sell their bases in the UK. They paid the first $10,000 in advance to help Secret Weapon immediately, you know, keep the employees paid. And they then, in turn, Secret Weapon began to send the masters of their bases to them. And Troll Trader began to, or TT Combat, began to produce molds for production of these bases. Then in a month, Justin came back to them and said, I need more money. So they entered into a further 3 months, a further agreement 3 months in advance, and Secret Weapon offered them paints to sell their paint line at no additional charge. Then the next month, even more money was asked for. And at this point, Troll Trader said, we'd like to see your accounts. We'd like to see where this money is going. Because not only did they have the money from the Kickstarter campaign, which they weren't fulfilling, but now they were in it for, what, $20,000 already for money for a license of these bases. And so they what they're saying is that they were just trying to help Justin save his business. And, you know, the thing that you have to keep in mind when you're anything about business is there's no good guys and bad guys. There's no heroes and villains. It's alignment is neutral, and it's winners and losers and what makes money and what doesn't. So there's not a good and evil. So you don't companies don't do things for the good of the world for the most part, unless they're, you know, virtue signaling. But obviously, Troll Trader wanted to maintain this license for these bases that they wanted to sell on the site. So they, you know, were then going to their intentions by all this advanced licensing payment was, you know, continue to employ the staff and help them fulfill the outstanding Kickstarter campaign. And during this time, and just as they requested, you know, can we see your books? We don't know why you're still hurting for money. Justin took a vacation. So that was a further red flag. I think the first 10,000 in advance should have been their first red flag, but they, you know, I guess on good faith, they decided that they were going to try to get this licensing agreement to work. They also said that his salary took a significant amount out of the company. And so now we have Troll Trader in the situation where they've already spent £15,000 making molds and £20,000 that they'd already given to Secret Weapon. And they had yet to sell a single base from this licensing agreement. So they're got molds for production. They've already paid this money that was supposed to be you know, for a licensing agreement. And they've sold nothing. So they contacted. So in that statement, the update that was posted by Secret Weapon, they were saying U.S. Bank, and we're working with U.S. Bank, and that's who our loan that we have in there defaulting, and they have our IP because we've defaulted. So Troll Trader contacted U.S. Bank to register an interest in that IP if, in fact, there is a bankruptcy or there's some proceedings where, you know, it could actually be licensed or purchased. And they couldn't confirm at all if U.S. Bank actually repossessed Secret Weapon's IP. So there's no sign of this business failing, this loan not working or whatever. And they state very specifically, we are not stopping Justin from communicating with his HD Bases Kickstarter backers in any way. And in fact, would encourage him to show those backers exactly where the money has been spent and what he has to show for it. So in the end, we do end up in, if we do, so if they can have possession of the Secret Weapon IP from whatever bankruptcy or whatever happens, they will definitely say that they'll reach out to the HD Bases backers and try to get those products in their hands. So a very rough kind of relationship. And I think it feels like having minimal experience with this, but I've had a little bit of experience with international business. It's very, very expensive to litigate anything internationally. So certain people will take advantage of that, and deals you've made on good faith and deals you've made without, you know, seeing someone's book, seeing someone's financials, or even having an idea of what kind of person you're dealing with can be a little bit dangerous, because if they decide to do this, you're screwed. So they entered into some sort of license agreement. They don't talk about, you know, the paperwork or terms or whatever, but if they're giving people money in advance, you're already kind of messing with whatever contract, whatever paperwork that was. But so as soon as that happened, and as soon as he was requesting money, he's saying, we're going out of business, but if you give me money, and then, yeah, it sounds like some shenanigans. So this does change the, the story that we got in that update by Justin McCoy. And he very much kept saying, I can't talk about this. This is the first time I've been able to talk about this. This is all stuff that's, you know, been up in the air, litigation or default or whatever. But it does seem very, very suspicious that he's putting so much blame on TrollTrader. And it doesn't seem like TrollTrader at all, aside from trying to license their products and actually spending money to, you know, make molds from masters, and then having Justin turn around and say, you have no license, you can't do this, so that they're, you know, in a very uncomfortable situation. It sounds like he was taking advantage of that. And, you know, maybe it's true that the company wasn't going to survive the pandemic. And I think a lot of shenanigans, you know, have gone a lot of money has been lost and a lot of shenanigans happened during the pandemic or with the pandemic as an excuse. And it sounds like it's too bad because I loved I never, you know, was a customer of Secret Weapon, but I always liked the look of their custom bases. But yeah, it does sound like what was going on, especially in terms of the closure of that company, was a bit shady, because where is that Kickstarter money? Where is all the money that was sent by TrollTrader, and why don't they have, you know, why don't they have a license? So they are, yeah, trying to resolve this, and they would, because I think they like that product very much, they would buy the IP and maintain, you know, continue the relationship, represent Secret Weapon, and fulfill those pledges to the backers. So that's a good thing. And so I just want to clarify, I'm very glad that Lewis reached out to us. And of course, we're not journalists. I don't check multiple sources. I mean, for this, all we had was the update, and I'd read multiple blog posts and news items that were just about this update. So we were only getting that one side of this. But the one thing that reading about this made me realize is, if I say, you know, fuck Games Workshop, that has no effect on them whatsoever. It doesn't hurt their bottom line. They're going to throw another million on the pile this week, regardless of my opinion. But, you know, for people that listen to the weekly, if I say something negative based on nothing, based on a single update on a Kickstarter page, you know, with no references, you know, I have no confirmation of anything. I don't have multiple sources of anything. If I say something negative about an online retailer, you know, they don't have huge business. And if I take away one or two sales, that sucks. I mean, that's something that, you know, just being a fan of this hobby and wanting to talk about kind of what's going on in the hobby, I don't want to have that kind of effect. So I definitely, you know, always want to give companies a fair shake and don't want to actually, you know, cast anybody in a bad light that doesn't deserve it. I've previously purchased things, I think, through their eBay shop from TrollTrader, and have had positive experience with them. So I have nothing bad to say about that company. And that statement did make them look like they were the problem. They were getting in the way. They're the reason the Kickstarter wasn't being fulfilled. And I think that's just a further kind of obfuscation, like, you know, they're just trying to cloud the waters as much as possible. Justin was just trying to cloud the waters to make him as blameless as possible if he's just taking the money and running, which I think the pandemic is full of a lot of. So good luck to TrollTrader in the future. I would love to see them own that IP and continue Secret Weapon, because I think that's I think they did, you know, decent products and just maybe not great at doing business. So we'll see. And I did see on the TT Combat website, or it was the TrollTrader site, that they do have listings for the bases and things. So hopefully they will be able to, they do have a license to sell those paints and everything. So thank you, Lewis, for getting in touch, and say hello to Jessica for me. And be sure to tell her that yet canned tuna fish is not in fact chicken. Yes. So that is just, yeah, I just wanted to say that and clarify that, because yeah, that seemed to be a bit of a frustration. So yeah. TrollTrader had nothing to do. They were just trying to license and actually just trying to help with a kind of, you know, as a kind of an angel licensor, not an investor, but as an angel licensor, trying to help them keep going in some tough times. And I guess there was not the intention at all. And it's really hard, you know, overseas, if TrollTrader is completely UK-based, it is really hard overseas to deal with this. It's very expensive to litigate. It's even very expensive to find out what's going on. You have to hire everybody domestically to the situation. So yeah, that is an update on that. And sorry, that was a kind of a deep dive, but I wanted to make sure, because Lewis reached out, that I gave it some proper attention. Because yeah, as far as my experience with Troll Trader, they're good guys that run a good business, and they give you good prices on a lot of wargaming stuff. So hopefully we will see Secret Weapon from them in the future. And yeah, and actually it coming from the UK would be a lot easier to get everything to Japan. All right. So continuing our look back at last week, the Embracer CEO released a statement kind of defending their taking the $1 billion from the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. So Savvy Gaming Group, which is owned by Saudi Arabia's public investment fund, made a $1 billion investment in Embracer Group last week that we talked about. And so this gives them the 8.1% stake in Embracer Group. But a lot of people, you know, weren't really happy about this because, you know, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has a history of repression of human rights and a real, you know, bad view of the LGBT community. And so, you know, people weren't sure, weren't really comfortable with Embracer Group approving this. And the CEO, Lars Vingefors, defended the move, saying that they do have different views on this topic. So he talked about that this investment was not taken lightly, and this investment of by Saudi Arabia will not change how the company is run. So the statement goes on to say, "I want to be clear, Embracer will continue to be operated by me, our operative CEOs and management team across the entire group. Embracer is built on the principles of freedom, inclusion, humanity, and openness. The transaction with SGG, Saudi Arabia, will not change this in any way. Embracer is still controlled by people working in our group. Together, we control a significant majority of the votes in the company." SGG will own slightly more than 5% of the votes and 8% of the capital that they have invested in Embracer because they support our current vision, strategy, leadership, and not to change it. Okay, so yeah, so basically it comes down to, you know, Saudi Arabia was described, I guess the CEO gently described Saudi Arabia as a non-democratic country, but I guess, you know, money is money, and they already have received investments from the Middle East, Africa, and Asia. And Saudi Arabia's public investment fund already holds stakes. I think we talked about this last week, in stakes in Capcom, Nexon, Nintendo, and ESL. So yeah, it's the CEO basically said this is a machine that needs to be fueled, and their money is green. So there we go. So he also said that for Embracer, there is only a handful of players in the world providing this type of sizable long-term equity capital. Without capital, our journey would notably slow down going forward, which could also have many implications for our businesses. SGG is providing very long-term capital to support our strategy without Embracer having to give up on our way of operating or other commercial opportunities. So before they accepted this investment, they had a 6-month discussion, learning about each other and sharing thoughts on how we can work together. This sounds like such a kumbaya moment. I can just see them sitting on the floor with an acoustic guitar. They learned and discussed difficult topics involving non-gaming issues related to Saudi Arabia. Like things like their zero tolerance against all forms of harassment and discrimination. I guess that's Embracer saying this is, you know, they have policies of equality, diversity, and zero tolerance against all forms of harassment and discrimination, which, okay, that's fine. And I guess Saudi Arabia said, yeah, you do you. Whatever, I don't know. But yeah, the point is that, so in Saudi Arabia, women have only recently earned the right to drive, and live on their own without the permission of a male guardian. And of course, same-sex relationships are outlawed and are subject to strict punishment. And I think that includes execution. So yeah, and the most kind of depressing thing about this whole thing is, of course, the country's crown prince, Mohammed bin Salam, Salman, has also been implicated in the brutal murder, which I have heard that he listened to via Skype, of the Saudi journalist and regime critic Jamal Khashoggi bin Salam. Is the chairman of the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund, which also owns that Savvy Gaming Group. So yeah, there's direct involvement of that individual who we know is, yeah, responsible for some pretty fun stuff. But the president of the U.S. will be going hat in hand next month to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia asking for oil. So I guess we have to let them invest in whatever they want to invest in. Yeah, so I hope I won't be getting any email from the kingdom or from Savvy Gaming Group, because I probably won't respond. But yeah, so that's trying to paint as rosy a picture of this as possible on the part of Embracer, so we can just kind of continue with our characterization of this group of some tentacles that are supplied by human rights violations and, in some cases, murder. But it will make anybody that is thinking about criticizing any of the games released by the publishing arm of Embracer Group to think twice about negative reviews, because journalists are held in contempt, and I think their very lives are at stake. All right, that's all joking and in good fun, but so that was strange that they had to kind of come back and say... And basically just say, we're taking any money we can, because I can't imagine there's a worse source of money. I guess, that's pretty much as bad as it gets. So we'll see if Embracer can actually do even worse than that, as far as people with votes in their on their board and capital in their company. But yeah, if it lets them do what they want to do, then why not? And part of that is, of course, preserving games in a giant archive. All right. So yeah, that was kind of the catch up and everything from this week. I hope that was fun. And I miss Chris's reaction. Chris is kind of frozen in disbelief by everything that I've been saying, if you're watching the live stream. But that is going to do it for this week. And so it was kind of a long discussion at the beginning. It was real fun to talk with everybody in the chat. So I will return to that shortly. So if you want to catch me again during the week, I do a single panel gag cartoon called Abuse Cartoons on YouTube and Twitch. The name of the strip itself is Domestic Abuse, and you can read that strip on gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And I do a live stream where I draw the cartoons for that week and eat some strange snacks from a Japanese convenience store, just to kind of break things up. And if you'd like to support what we're doing here and get Chris back here regularly, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/upturntable. And it's the weekling category that lets us know that you like what we're doing here. And you can also support our lore series or anything else that we're doing. And upturntable.com is the website for everything that we do. And we're UpturnTable on all social media and on both YouTube and Twitch. And we will be doing some more unboxings, some more live streaming, and hopefully some Blade Runner. That would be a fun thing to get on the channel as soon as possible. So thank you so much for joining me. We'll be back to our normal duo next week, hopefully. We'll be here on a different day so that we can be here together. And thank you so much for watching what we're doing. And I'll put a link to Chris's social media and also the itch.io page. So thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back again next week. And so we're missing the later mortals, but goodbye.